The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right. God is good, worthy to be praised. This is the day the Lord has made. I am rejoicing. I'm glad in it. God is good. God bless all of you. Welcome to Mike Radio. And also welcome, of course, to www.mikebroadcastddv.com. And we're here every single Saturday, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. God is good, worthy to be praised. I want to give God praise. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Also give an honor to KOM, Mighty Sons of God Church, and M318. This M is for you, for your support, your prayers. All your gifts help us to continue to reach a global market. Today, I'm going to be doing one of my classes of SITU, and this is, of course, my Bible training center. Many people call it a Bible, so I don't really like Bible study. I call it a Bible training center, and I've been doing these type of courses actually since 1985 from my house, and then my church broke out actually, 1995, and my church broke out in 1997. And so we give honor to all those tuning in, Brother Sean, Yolanda Scott, Robert Santos, my engineer. God is worthy. We're going to pray and get into a study today. And I'm on week 115. This is the AA level. I haven't done the AA in a while because I was catching up with the BA level. And the last course I did with AA, of course, is the comings of Christ Jesus, right? The comings of Christ. And so what I want to do, I want to change the total topic because I got 5 hours left in this course. And those of you who at least have watched over half the hours, you can watch the course, take the final exam, and get your AA level religious degree in demonstrative ministries. But you have to at least have watched, if the 125 hours, you have to at least have watched at least 80% of the 125 hours, at least 80%, and then take the final exam, and then you'll be rewarded or awarded a certificate, what I call a religious degree, AA level, in demonstrative ministry. You give honor to Sister LJ, another supporter, Sister Carolyn, amen. God is worthy to be praised. I don't want you to miss what God is going to do in this hour, okay? So let's pray, get into this. Lord God, we just give you thanks and praise that you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Father of all glory. You give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that my eyes are enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches that are inside the inheritance of the saints, and that exceeding greatness of your power to us word, because Michael McDuffie believed according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities, all powers, all mights, all dominions, not only in this cosmos, but the one which is to come, which is your body, that filleth all in all, in Christ Jesus' name. So be it, so be it. Let's get into what God has for me in this hour and what he has for all of you. This is SITU, and that stands for School of Intensified Training and Understanding. And I'm going into week 115. This is lesson one on this question today. Does the Old Testament still apply? Are we free from the law of Moses? Now, you may think this is a real boring subject matter, but this is a subject matter I get confronted with many times. Because people, Sean, Carolyn, and LJ will tell me, well, since Christ came, we no longer have to keep the Mosaic law. The law does not have to be kept. And I'm here to rebuke that lie. I'm here to rebuke it. Because you're going to realize when you talk about the law of Moses, it can mean a few things. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean. Okay? And I want to really get you to understand a few things that's going to blow your mind. Because we're going to deal with this subject matter, which is the question I get all the time, is tithing for the New Testament? It's just supposed to be for the Old Testament. And usually people who tell me this are people that don't want to tithe in the first place. They just look for excuses not to give tithe. Or the other side, the pastor is abusing the tithe and forcing and bending the folk and scaring them to death. So you get both extremes. I'm going to give you what the scripture says. I'm going to give you my point of view, and then you let that you take it from your point of view. Tithing has always been something I've practiced since the age of 19. When I became into a knowledge of it at Redeemer Love Christian Center, I became a tither. As a matter of fact, be honest with you, President Crystal, God bless you, honor to our president. Be honest with you, I started giving more than tithes. Prophet Bernard Jordan told me back in 1990, he says, giving starts at the 11%. I never forget that. Everything you give below that, that's what you owe. But once you hit that 10%, 11% up, you can give whatever you want to give, free to give. But that 10% is the lowest that a church member should give to ministry. And, of course, there's always controversy when you start talking about money. No one complains about money when it's time to go to the mall, pay their rent, pay their mortgage, buy their flat-screen television, buy their shoes, buy their clothes. But any time a man of God challenges you to sow a seed in marriage, we get all these excuses. I don't have to give. I don't have to sow. But you didn't say all of that when you had to go buy them daggone shoes for $400, that suit for $500, take a trip to Florida, pay for room and hotel stay. Nobody complains until you start asking for money for ministry. Then everybody got something to say. The devil is a liar. I'm here to show you something today, and I want my eight students to get this, my first level students to get this. Don't you ever think that the Old Testament does not apply to you today. The Old Testament is nothing but the New Testament fulfilled. Please write that thing down. The Old Testament is really, when you get to the New Testament, it's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. God bless you, Thaddeus Parker. And so these people that try to teach this ultra grace message that it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter if you keep the Ten Commandments, the grace of Jesus just covers you and you can live any life you want to live because God's grace takes away all your sins. We're going to destroy this narrative that is abusive to the body of Christ. God never frees you to live any life you want. The devil is a liar. We are still accountable to the spirit of obedience. Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm going to paraphrase some things, and then we're going to go right to Matthew 5. But there's some things I want to say before I get there. And I want my students to get this in your spirit, get this in your mind, get this in your soul, okay? God always requires obedience. You can never escape from it. You can't run from it. To be obedient to God is what you was created to be. Just like parents have children, children are supposed to be obedient to their parents. Even if your parents were not the perfect parents, there's a special honor of being obedient to your parents that can extend the length of your life, Ephesians chapter 6. So let's get away from this ideal that God's grace was given through Christ, and now I can live any life I want. Oh, I'm forgiven in the Lord. I can do what I want. Rob, steal, choose the sexual orientation I want to be. I can just do what I want because God's grace covered me. Romans 6 says, if God has given you this grace, does it give you the right to sin? And it says, God forbid. This is in Romans chapter 6. Hope we get to look at it. So this whole thing about I'm freed to live any life I want is a lie from the pit of hell. First of all, let's deal with this subject matter, and I'm going to come back and show you something. First of all, here is the number one question I get from people who always seem to pull this thing out their hat. Since tithing is not mentioned in the New Testament, that means I don't have to practice it. Now, first of all, when you create that narrative, what you're really saying is everything I do or everything I'm not supposed to do, if I can't find it in the writings of the New Testament, then I'm free to do it, or I can continue to do what I feel I want to do, no matter if my conscience convicts me. Because there are many things in the biblical text, Old Testament, New Testament, that God never has to lay out, but you already know in your heart and your mind it's wrong. All right. There's no scripture in the Bible about should I smoke Pall Malls or smoke cool cigarettes. But you know, when you draw from that nicotine, it affects your lungs and it's poisonous to your system. It is a violation of a health law, which means it's a violation of God's law. Everything does not have to be written out. for you to say, well, it's not in the Bible. I tell folks all the time, there's a lot of stuff that's not in the Bible. So stop using that as your narrative. If there are three things you're doing right now that's not in the Bible, microphones, this radio station, this black shirt, a whole lot of things that we do or wear are not in the biblical text. So stop using it as your weak narrative. What you want to say sometime is, why are you so cheap you can't give your tithes and offerings? Why are you scared to bless men and women of God? That's sometimes somebody's question, okay? I didn't say all of you, but I get this question more than one person. So I cover a gambit of issues. Hello, Officer William McCrary. God bless you, to Brother Tim, your whole family. Tony, God bless you. Thaddeus, God bless you. President Crystal. And these M's are to my financial contributors. So let's deal with this one. Pastor Mike, and you know, the tithing is under the law, and we no longer have to tithe because the tithe has been fulfilled. Let me just mess with some of y'all. First of all, tithing was not only mentioned in the law. Tithing came before the law. Tithing is something culturally that Jews did. It was required of them, and that's what they're supposed to practice and push down from generation to generation. Now, you can add an extra tithe to it, a tithe off a tithe, but the concept is that whatever God gives you, a piece of it, you should not eat it. Whatever God gives you 10, give them back one. That's a natural spiritual law that was given to Abram, the father of faith, before the Mosaic law. Now, keep in mind, the covenant was cut through Abraham in the book of Genesis around 12 or 13, 14, up to 18 or 19. A covenant that God initiated with Abram. In Genesis 14, 14, Abram took 318 members of his church, attacked the enemy, and recaptured his Lot, recaptured a Lot, or his nephew Lot, his half-son, really. Recaptured, brought back the women and children, brought back the goods, and then this high priest came out called King Melchizedek, high priest Melchizedek, and Abram does what a Jew does, gave him 10% of all of his earnings. Now, where did Abram get this from? If you're going to lock the tithe into only the Mosaic law, then why is Abraham giving tithe to Melchizedek in Genesis 14, 14? Because that's in Abraham's training. That's in his thinking. Tithing is the ABC level of giving and returning to God what you owe. And a lot of times people never enter giving, never really start giving until they graduate from first grade level of tithing. If you struggle with tithing, you'll never give. These folk who start fussing about money, that means you must love it so much you can't release it. Let the money go. It's not yours in the first place. And God uses money to test your heart to see, does he come before your idol, which is the love of mammon? So when you get to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis 13 and Genesis 14, Abram is practicing a principle. He paid tithes off of all his income. Oh, my Jesus. He paid tithes to all of his income. Thank you, Jesus. What he actually did was, okay, I got a great victory. I won this battle. So let me be as honorable and give to the high priest what is deserving. Now, the high priest don't return and say, oh, yeah, no, I don't need this. Just give it to the Lord. No. The high priest takes this gift because it demonstrates, let me tell you something, it demonstrates a Jewish custom or a Jewish way of living. Abram is practicing something that some of you watching me right now struggle with. You need to get delivered from thinking the tithe belonged to you and stop trying to find scripture in the Bible to justify stinginess and selfishness. The tithe is like a tax. Write this thing down. Do you ask Uncle Sam about your taxes? No, you do not. And Uncle Sam takes more than 10%. He takes some of y'all checks, 33%, some 40%. The more money you make, while you start catching up to that millionaire status, they be taking 60%, depending on who get elected in November. They might take more than that. But I'm trying to tell you how the game is played. Because when you are taxed or tithed, it is the maintaining of the government. So to any governmental structure on the planet Earth, that money has to come from someplace, Pastor Sharon, Officer William McQuarrie. It's not free. There is no such thing as free. Please write that down. There is no such thing as free. Now, even if you get it free, Brenda Taylor, someone else paid for it. So this is something that is really kind of warped in the body of Christ, because we think because someone give you a gift or give you handouts, that's not good. I don't want a handout. I want a hand up. And there's a difference between a hand out and a hand up. If I'm giving you a hand up, I'm giving you something so we can get your feet wet and get built on something so you can go and become greater. Anytime you take Section 8 and make it Lifetime 9, I got a problem. I don't mind giving to the poor. I don't mind helping people. But I hate when situations become so dependent on people. Everything is transitional because I want to build you to get your own. And what God requires, I'm going to say it again, he gives you the law of tithing before the law, inside the law, and the Torah is still required after the keeping of the law through Christ Jesus. Did you hear what I said? So God said, you're going to tithe, Abram, before the law. And then I'm going to take the law of tithing and put it inside the law of Moses or the Torah. And then after Christ comes out the grave, I'm still going to require you to walk in the things of the law, but you're going to be able to walk in it in the right way it should have been walked in. There is no such thing as the getting rid of the Torah. This is some teaching that has messed up some of us in the church circle. God always requires obedience. If fornication is sin in the Old Testament, then fornication is sin in the New Testament. If stealing an ox or a donkey from your neighbor is wrong in the Old Testament, then stealing a Mercedes and a house in the New Testament or after the New Testament, if it's wrong in the Old, it's wrong in the New, except when it comes to about four areas. These are some of the things that changes as we get into what I call changing of society, the changing of some cultures, the changing of the climate, and the changing of customs. You'll find some of these things that are wrapped into the Torah or wrapped into some of the Old Testament that no longer applies to you today because of the change of society. I'll give you a good example. I'm making this plain so you can understand it. Someone said, Michael, the scripture says that a woman shouldn't wear anything pertaining to a man, and a man shouldn't wear anything pertaining to a woman. Now, when you read that scripture, we have some denomination that tell you that a woman shouldn't wear pants, all right? Now, that sounds right, right? Sounds cool, right? But then when you start to do the exegesis study, and you know the laws of hermeneutics, and you start to read the whole scriptures, that scripture speaks to a woman should wear anything pertaining to a man, because what the scripture is talking about is women trying to live and act like men, which is talking about the spirit of homosexuality. A man should wear anything pertaining to a woman because we don't want you exemplifying the woman character, because a man should be a man. So the scriptures really speaks overall in that section of scriptures of the spirit of homosexuality, which is so embraced in our American culture. And even if you speak against it biblically, you are told that you hate homosexuals, you call names. No, I'm giving you what the scripture says, and we don't want to deal with the scripture because it means change. All right? Now stay with me. I don't speak to be politically correct. I'm giving what the biblical mandate is. So I asked this person, well, let me ask you a question. I said, when men was back in the biblical days, watch this, customs, did they wear pants? Because in the biblical days, the women and the men both wore skirts. At Councilman Women McCoy, they both wore skirts. Some men wore skirts. There was no pants back then. So be very careful when you try to take something that was customary, something that was adjusted to the climate, something that was a style back then. As things began to change, watch this, as things change, you upgrade. But there were certain things in the Torah that does not change. For an example, the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments in the Torah was given to protect us from sinning against our neighbor and sinning against God. Those Ten Commandments are transitional no matter the custom, the climate. So when he talked about obey your parents in the Lord, in the Torah, a parent is a male and a female, not two males and not two females. And when you see believers pushing that agenda, you better pray for them because they're contrary to the scriptures. All right? Now, if I'm offensive to you, then of course I'm not your guy. I'm going to give you what the biblical text says. So you have to understand how the game is played. Know your Bible and know what belongs to you today, and know there's certain things that are customary, certain things that are customs or just done according to the climate or the society at that time. But as you get older and transit, you no longer have to do that. There were certain things that were done during their customs where married women wore things over their head to represent they're submitted to their husbands, all right? And it was wrong for some of the husbands to keep things on their head because it represents them not honoring Christ. These are customs. They change according to the change of society. But laws in the Torah and certain Jewish behaviors remain the same. Tithing is one of those laws. It came before the law, Abraham in Genesis 14. It was in the law, Leviticus chapter 26 or Deuteronomy chapter 26 about tithing and Malachi. And then watch this because some of y'all don't understand it. In the book of Matthew, I think it's, if I'm correct, Matthew 23, Jesus actually honors the Jewish leaders for giving tithes. He said, these things you have done, but you left out other things. So Christ never says stop tithing. I don't know why folks come up with that narrative because they're trying to find a way to be cheap. They don't want to be committed to their church ministry. I mean, you got 10 apples, can't give God one. You got 10 lemons, can't give God one. How stingy are we? You get $200, you can't give God $20. You got 3,000, can't give God 300. Stop playing. And if you're under a ministry that you feel not training you, not teaching you, and the pastor's stealing the money, then why are you going there? Why are you submitted there? Find another place of worship. You have no right to keep the money. These folk who want to boycott their apartment and don't pay the landlord a rent, you're supposed to take that rent and put it into an account while you go to court. So if you're keeping your money back from your landlord based on some type of exterior problem, what that judge is going to say, where's that rent money going until you solve this plan, until you solve this issue? It's supposed to go into a separate account. So when you come to court, the judge might say, all that rent money belonged to that landlord. You got to go in and get that money and give it to that landlord. Or he might say, no, landlord, we turn your case down. That money is yours. Then you're free and clear. So you can't go around just making up stuff because you're uncomfortable with it. What's up with people? I don't understand that. I have more respect and honor for people who do wrong and tell you that I'm just doing wrong. I want to do my own thing. I don't care what you say. Pastor Mike, you telling me, you preaching to me, but I have decided to do what I want to do, and I don't care what you feel about it. I have more respect and honor for someone who say, Pastor Mike, I'm living a life as a whoremonger, a homosexual, and I know it's wrong. I just want to do what I want to do. Didn't say that. This whole thing about justifying it and saying it's okay, you know God is telling you to stop, and you want, then just say it. This is the part that which is called tempting Christ, when you know that it's wrong, and you go outside and tell folks, I know it's wrong, and God told me to do it, and this time, no. You just want to be a fornicator. You just want to be a whoremonger. You just want to take drugs. You just want to do what you want to do. Just say, if that's what it is, say what it is. Just say what it is. God got more respect and honor for someone who said, I'm in this type of lifestyle. I'm not coming out yet, but I know it's wrong. But these folks, they're talking about doing wrong and then act like it's okay. Nah, brother. Nah, sister. I'm dealing with this topic of, does the Old Testament still apply to us today? Yes, it does. And am I exempt from the Mosaic law because Christ kept it? No, you're not. Christ kept it in the perfect way. So now you can keep it in such a way where it's not so legalistic. You keep it in the spirit of the way it should be kept. because Christ kept it the way it should be kept. So when you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, it looks like in the books of court that you are sinless. There are two words I want you to write down. I taught this in SIT many times, but I got to teach it like I'm speaking to my audience for the very first time. A word called position and a word called relationship. Write that thing down. Position and relationship. There are things Christ purchased for us positionally, and there are things we're supposed to walk in Christ relationally. Let me try one more time. There are things that Christ purchased for us positionally, and there are things we're supposed to walk up before God relationally. If the embracing of Christ is from the heart and from the mouth and is truly confessed and is really embraced, it should empower you to walk relationally inside of the position that Christ gave you. Are you with me today? My. Thank you, Jesus. So, watch this. Hold on. Thank you, Jesus. I remember I was watching just the other day, I was watching Price is Right. Not Price is Right, I was watching Let's Make a Deal. And they asked a young European lady to dance, because he called out the audience, and she started dancing. And they asked her how long she was doing that. She says, I've never done that before. She said, I didn't even know I can do it. And the reason why I started dancing, because you told me I could dance. She said this on Let's Make a Deal, Sean and Crystal. So what the guy did, the black host says, positionally, he said, you can dance. He spoke to her first. Then relationally, she started dancing. So a lot of times, many folk in the church circles I grew up with was trying to be holy without knowing they already holy. Holiness is a gift given to you by Christ. Once you embrace holiness positionally, then God gives you the power to walk out holiness relationally. Let me know when it's time for a commercial. You know, and so I am a firm believer, and this is very important to get to. I'm a firm believer that the reason why we don't see more holiness and more obedience in the body of Christ or more sanctification, Pastor Molina, because no one told us that we're already holy. We're already being sanctified. You can't get no more holier than you can when Christ gave it to you. I told you it's positionally first and relationally second. Are you with me so far? And I'm trying to teach you things of position and relationship. So in Christ, you're already holy. In Christ, you're not only sanctified, you are being sanctified and shall be sanctified. In Christ, you're already healed. In Christ, you're already in heaven. In Christ, you're already finished. In Christ, you already kept the law. See, in Christ comes everything you need positionally. So that's why when Pastor Molina preaches the gospel to her congregation, these things must be embraced by faith first. Once you embrace them by faith first, positionally, then you're able to walk things out relationally. So that's why you got to spend a lot of time getting into the ear gates, the eye gates, and the heart gate of your people and tell them who they are in Christ. Stop making people sin conscious and make them Christ conscious. Tell them they have on the blood of Christ. Tell them they're loved by God. Tell them their sins are taken away. Tell them the promises that we have been given in Christ. Now, I'm going someplace with this teaching because I have learned that a lot of times people try to find a justified manner of getting rid of everything in the Old Testament. Now, I run into these people, I'm talking about preachers too, who will say things to me, well, the Old Testament no longer applies to us today. Only the New Testament and only the grace of God. I even had one preacher say that because homosexuality is not spoken by Jesus in the Gospels, it must be justifiable. And I said, well, brother, that don't make no sense because Christ didn't say anything about eating goat doo-doo either. You just don't do it. So that's this whole narrative that Christ got to mention everything for something to be wrong, that's off. That's a wrong narrative. So there's a lot of things that Christ said and things Christ didn't say that we're supposed to do and not do. So stop trying to find everything written in the Bible because you're not going to find everything written in the Bible. The Bible, the New Testament, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament through Christ Jesus. Notice how I say this, Yolanda, President Crystal, Pastor Sharon, Pastor Melina. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. So when people say that dumb statement to me that the Old Testament no longer applies, I say, you must don't study, man. Something wrong with you. You know, are you studying? The Old Testament still applies. Now, what part of the Old Testament does not apply? Some of the styles, some of the customs, some things that was done during that society, and some things that was done during that climate. But as life changes and as technology comes in, there's certain things you don't do anymore. Men don't wear skirts now in our society like they did back in the Eastern society. Now, some folks trying to bring back the style, but men wear pants. And guess what? When women wear pants, they're not man pants. They're women pants because the women got them on. So I don't understand this whole stuff. We have a mindset sometimes that we got to take a break. We have a mindset sometimes that have twisted us and perverted us from true teaching. We're going to take a commercial break and come back in 3 minutes. You are listening to www.mikebroadcastddv.com, and you're also watching Mike Live. We're going to take a break and come back in 3 minutes.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching brothers before others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
All right, we're back. You're listening, and of course, you're watching Mike Radio, but you're also watching to listen to www.mikebroadcastddv.com. God bless you, Jesse Bohawk Sims. God bless you, Apostle Donald Addison. Grace and peace, Apostle Recruiting. In Jacksonville, Florida, ministries by your amen. Apostle Donald Addison, he's out of Minneapolis. He's my family. He's a true apostle. He understands the power of disciples, not members of local churches. Apostle Donald and his beautiful wife, which I call my aunt and uncle, they doing it. And I'm proud of Apostle Donald Addison. This image for your seed support. Apostle, appreciate you. And he's going out recruiting ministries in Florida. He's not waiting. Now, y'all can sit around and wait. Apostle Donald Addison is moving. Because when we hit this TV station in September, Roku, we're going to be in millions of homes. And I'm telling you, I'm not stopping. And I'm looking for people to get in here and let's do what we got to do. Okay, let's go to Matthew 5. Let me go to Matthew 5. You're watching, of course, SITU. Hello, Tony Beal. And we're watching, and I'm teaching week 115, lesson one on does the Old Testament still apply to me today? Am I free from the Mosaic law? And I'm going to give you the answer to both of the questions. Yes, the Old Testament still applies to you today in Christ. And the Torah, the Moses law, is still required. But the way you keep it through Christ is different. The way you keep the regulations and stuff of the Old Testament is different. It doesn't mean we get rid of it. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist anymore. Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to show you how to keep it better, how to keep it more effectively. All right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, New Testament scripture. And let me read you a scripture that's going to mess up some of your doctrinal training. All right? If you go to Matthew chapter 5, and this is Jesus speaking to, I call his inner 12, Crystal Cleaves, and his, of course, his, what I call his inner 70 plus the 12, I call this his inner 82. 12 plus the 70 is, I call his inner 82 out of the thousands. He set these 82 aside, and he's training them and equipping them how to be effective disciples, Apostle Donald. Verse 17 of Matthew 5, this is what it says, Crystal Cleaves, it says, Tony Veal, it says, Jesse Bohack Sims, it says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law, Keisha, or the prophets. I have not come to get rid of the teachings of Abraham, who's a prophet, and get rid of the law. So let's get away from getting rid of, it's no longer for the day. I'm already giving you scripture that what you're taught is wrong. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Look what it says. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Whatever was given to you halfway, I've come to fill it to the top. Are you getting me? That's what fulfill means. Let me make it plain to you for some of you who think it. Watch this. I have a bottle of water in my hand. All right. Watch the bottle. Now, if I take off this sticker, I'm going to take it off. I'm trying to make a point. See the bottle? It's not filled. It needs to be fulfilled. So when God gave us the law, all right, he said, you did your best. You got it as far as you can, but it doesn't meet the standard of my obedience or my requirement. So I'm going to send Jesus, who's going to fill the bottom to the top and keep it the way it should be kept. We don't get rid of it. We come to fulfill it properly. So there's a requirement of the Old Testament that was not properly fulfilled. So Christ is going to come and keep it for you. so that Jesus the Christ can represent you. Jesus is going to keep it as one individual, but we're going to get the credit because we're the water inside the bottle. So let's make this plain and simple. Let's represent this bottle is Jesus the Christ. The outside is Jesus, but the bottle is the Christ. So whatever happens to Jesus comes to the plumb line of Christ, and we get the credit. Poland Spring coming to you straight from Maine. God bless you, Sean. So when you say Jesus the Christ, what you're saying actually is this, to fulfill or to complete, it means whatever was not fulfilled totally, Christ came to keep it for you. Positionally. So when I received Christ as my Savior, it looked like I got inside the bottle. How many saw the movie Message in the Bottle? The bottle is Christ Jesus. God put me in the bottle. So when God speaks to Christ Jesus, it looks like he's speaking to Michael McDuffie because I am the body of Christ. I said, positionally first, relationship second. And you're never going to get relationship till you get position first. I'm telling you, man, if you don't get this 1-2 punch, you're going to miss what God has done for us. And more I see what Christ did for Michael McDuffie positionally, I am so glad I was not born in the biblical days. Oh, I enjoyed David knocking out Goliath, but I'm so glad I was born in 1963. Oh, I enjoyed the Red Sea splitting, but I'm so glad I was born in 1960. Oh, I appreciate Samson slapping down 1,000 devils, but I am very appreciative of born in 1963. Look what it says in Matthew 5, verse 18, and look at this euphemism, or what I might call a motif. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law until all of it is accomplished. Now, when you hear the term heaven and earth pass away, some of your rapture people think one day that heaven and earth going to go away. But when you study the biblical script, there's never going to come a day when the earth and heaven will never not exist. It will exist throughout eternity. Now, the renovating of the heaven and the burning away of the old system will pass away, or the way the Jews used the term heaven and earth means their Jewish system, because they thought that their heaven, watch this, was the temple and the earth was the city of Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, both things went away. The city was burnt down and the temple was burnt down. But what remained was the finished work of Christ and the words that were coming out of Jesus' mouth. You see the words coming out of my mouth? All right, Jesus, you're going to believe in what I say. So it matters more you believe to what God's words say to what God is saying. Take him at his word, not what you can physically see, but what God speaks to your heart, your mind, speak to your eye sockets that aligns itself with the Torah. All right, the word and the spirit must agree, or the law and the spirit must agree. Verse 5:19, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What you're saying? That means if you keep the Torah and keep the law the way I'm telling you to keep it, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I were to stand up in church at some of my church services, I'm great. Sit your young snapper behind down. Nobody's great in the kingdom but Jesus. And I would say you're scripturally incorrect, because Jesus is telling his disciples it is possible to be great in the kingdom of heaven. So we tell folks not to expound to be great, but the scripture here says you can be great. So make up your mind. It's okay. How? It's okay to be great. But the question is, President Crystal and Sean, is how you become great. And according to the scriptures, if you keep the law of Moses the way it should be kept, you'll be great. Look what it says in verse 20. For I tell you, unless, watch this, here it is, watch this, watch this, watch this. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter, or the word enter means participate, you will never participate in the kingdom of heaven. You mean to tell me, God, you mean be born Jewish as a scribe or a Pharisee, I get it automatically? No. You have to practice the type of righteousness that Christ tells you to practice. Well, what type of righteousness is that, Pastor McDuffie? The one that says, I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. You have to call me your Messiah. I got to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I need for you to embrace me in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and make me the Lord of your life. And I will give you the gift of righteousness. Watch this. And according to the heavenly court law, positionally, you've been made right. Positionally, you have kept the law throughout eternity. All I need for you to do is to embrace me as your Lord and your Savior. And if you let me come into your heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out you'll start living for God through Christ naturally like breathing. Isn't it amazing, Apostle Peter Bruno? Isn't it amazing to give honor to my apostle? Isn't it amazing, President Crystal? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that I don't have to think to breathe? Breathe out. When I am a human being, I'm just being a human. Famous words of Reverend George Riley. I'm just being human. I don't have to think about it. When you are a son of God or a disciple, it's something that you just do naturally. See, when you walk out the law of Moses through the finished work of Christ, you act, you live holy like you're breathing. You're not a human doing, you're a human being. So I just be the Son of God. I just be at the top. It just comes out naturally to forgive people, to pray for people, smile, laugh. And even when I do something wrong, I feel a spirit of conviction that something happens to me. This happens when you keep the Torah the way it should be kept. And it's kept positionally through the finished work of Christ. See, this is what I talk about keeping the Torah. Now, what happened, and because of the time, I can't go through all of this, but I hope I can get to this one scripture. Go quickly over to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Look what verse 1 says. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And Romans says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, this is spiritual baptism, were baptized into his death, and we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too, watch this, might walk in newness of life. Verse 5 of Romans 6, for if we have been united with him in death, positionally, y'all, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we should no longer be a slave to sin, but one who has died has been made free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over us, but the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let not sin therefore be king over your mortal body, but make it obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Notice that. Do not present your members as sin, as instruments. What does the demons look for? They look for instruments. What does demons look for? They look for instruments. He wants to play the saxophone of homosexuality. He wants to play the trumpet of fornication. He wants to play the piano of smoking and drinking and acting crazy and lying and stealing. These are instruments where spirits look to play their sound through. He says, and as your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin, will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. And that don't mean you get rid of the law. That means the grace of Christ help keep the law through you. You're not free from the law. That means through Christ, you have kept the law positionally, and now you start to live this life of holiness relationally. Now, I got to go. I want to thank you for tuning in to www.mikebroadcast.com. DDV.com every Saturday from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And you're also watching Mike Live 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We need you to go to our station, go to our Cash App, $PastorMichael7. And also, I need for you to go to, of course, the Cash App, the PayPal address, supermike777@gmail.com. I got to go. Thank you for watching. Love you so much. See you next Saturday.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moments of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com.